All right, so we'll get started. It's really nice to be here again with you. As I was driving in this morning, I really was aware of joy in my heart. And it was because I was seeing you. I really, really love this group. You warm my heart. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
We had joy too, knowing you were coming.
Oh, good. It's a mutual love affair. Joy meeting joy. Oh, is it supposed to snow tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh. So before we get going today, I want to give you a sense of where we're going. And some of that where will be determined by you. So as you recall, last time I was here, for those of you that were here, is my volume all right? Can you hear me? Am I projecting well enough? Okay. Just you put a hand to an ear if I start talking too softly. Last time I was here, we worked with the basics of dyads and a little bit about the energetics of dyads, what happens when we work with emotions energetically. If you recall the wave that I was talking about. So, and then essentially working with locate, feel, and describe. We're going to keep using that today and going deeper into the dyad process, working with opposites and working with pure being or awareness or presence or however you'd like to frame it up. So last time, locate, feel, describe, really that was essentially all that was given, with the idea that you can play with the languaging. Find your ease with words as you practice together. So I'm curious, have many of you had a chance to sit with another, or yourself even, the mirror, and do some basic dyads together with the idea of playing with locate, feel, describe, and various expressions of that. Excellent. That will make today a lot easier. So now we can go further because you've laid the foundation. But if you hadn't, and even if you have, locate, feel, describe can be it. And you can play with it for years. You don't have to go beyond it. You can just have powerful presence, which is innately healing, through simple language. Locate, feel, describe. On the way in this morning, I was shuffling through my iPod and trying to find something to listen to. And, you know, something showed up, and I went, what's that? Clicked on it. And this gorgeous, gorgeous music, heavenly, a woman who sings, I don't even know who she is, I don't know how it got on my iPod, but it's Latin Christian music, and it's, you know, the titles to the tracks were, You Are a Mystery, The Gardener, all these gorgeous Christian songs. But this voice just pierced my heart and just pierced my whole being and sent me into a whole nother realm as I'm driving on the number one. So in that moment, I just locate in the heart. Feel expansion, describe, And all these words, you know, started coming to me to describe. So in simple moments or profound moments, to use these essential, simple tools can take us, this locate, feel, describe just took me deeper and deeper and deeper into what was present for me. It just kept opening me and opening me and opening me by really meeting it through locate, feel, describe. Yes, yes.
If I start using words and describing it, I take myself right away from the experience. And so just for me, because I have so many words going on in my head, I need to sort of let go of the verbal description and just feel the description.
No, and I think that that's a really great point, Mara, because really there can be a sometimes the words come spontaneously, but there can be a little bit of machination in describing, to try and find the words that describe this, and so can actually take you out of the experience. So to just be in locate, okay, that's done, and then feel, there it is, describe, don't need to, so just feel. And that will be true of your clients, that every now and again it's nice to have them describe, but really your job can just be feel that. Yeah, feel that. Really drink that in, really saturate in that, you know, just finding different words. Or feel that to the degree that you can. Whatever, you know, there's a whole repertoire of words that helps them stay present, and you can tell whether they're present or not. But your experience certainly is an experience that everyone in this kind of practice of presencing will have. And to me, really just coming in, using your sensitivity, your the unified field, you've joined with the other, to sense when to come in and say, what are you feeling now? What's present now? Just as a way to check in to make sure they haven't spun off, or you have a sense they've spun off, so you're just pulling them back. Yeah, great awareness. So in that purity of just feeling, sometimes you may have found that the opposite will spontaneously arise. That as I'm feeling open and filled with grace and elation, I'm also aware an opposite of constriction and judgment might show up, that judgment being opposite to elation in a certain sense. You may not, but in your practice, watch for it. This is where the rubber hits the road in your own practice. That's when you really become a good facilitator, whatever that is, because you've done your own work. And we can become sort of sensitized to watching for the opposites when they show up in ourselves, and then listening for them with our partner or client. So keeping an open mind for what opposite might be. The opposite of sad might be something for you, but it could be something else for this person. So just really staying open-minded about what opposite is. And then The same is true of presence. Feeling, 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 going in, feeling, 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 opening, 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 sensing, sensing. What arises eventually, without fail, is some degree of presence. It's always there, right? It's never gone. But to the client or to ourselves, there's some awareness of presence, of openness, of spaciousness that arises out of feeling. So out of the locate, feel, describe, locate brings us into our bodies. Describe helps take us deeper into it because we really have to say, well, okay, what is this? We have to get curious about it. But then the juice of it is feel, 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 because that keeps us here, present. And then that small p presence, as it's sustained, opens up into a large p presence. So this is why this simple languaging can go so far. Yes, it's exciting to bring in new words and to build the repertoire, so to speak. But don't feel like you have to. Really enjoy this simple, simple process that is in your manual. It is in your level 2 manual on page 409, Simple Instructions for Dyads. And as we get more confident, we start to riff a little. We start to play with the order and the sequence and the protocol, and we become more like an artist where we're in the flow, and it's not me following a protocol, it's love loving love, it's presence responding to what's present, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me, I did say that, and let me be even more clear. What arises is open spaciousness, beingness. There may not be a discernment that that's what it is, not that it's an it. In other words, you can be so present, it's just presence, and there's no awareness of just presence, because the I that is aware is gone. You're so present. There's no I going, oh, presence. It's just presence. Do you follow the difference? So you're in the experience of it, not registering that you're in the experience of it, not the mind, not the I-ness registering that you're in the experience of it, you're just in the pure experience of it. And I'm making this discernment. I think it's an important discernment because we have these beautiful, rich experiences of presence all the time, throughout the day. It's just there's no I there to register the experience. But if you look back through the day, you'll see that there were moments where you were absolutely steeped in presence, as presence. There was no one to register it because there was no I present. In presence, there is no I.
Mm-hmm. As I've been journaling my iris sessions, and finding afterwards the ability to journal as if about those feelings of presence,
Mm-hmm.
And wondering how I can do that. I mean, but I guess it's
mm-hmm.
becoming clear. I wasn't aware of that when that was happening in the actual
mm-hmm.
experience.
Moment.
But coming back and reflecting on
mm-hmm.
it, I can see
yeah.
what happened.
And that's the beauty of tracking back in this protocol. It's such a beautiful pointer to look back in time and see that that awareness, pure awareness, was there always, always, always. Well, there's a cognitive process where ultimately there is no separation between I and no I. I is a movement within the emptiness, within emptiness, not the emptiness, because I don't want to objectify it. Yes, it's a cognition. It's a movement in the brain, yes. Yes, yes. It's like being recorded. I would say it's a perfect analogy, yes. Yeah.
The ego can go back and kind of get an experience of it.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's really showing your level of understanding is really deepening. You're getting this so beautifully. And the reason why we're having trouble with it is because the mind, you know, it's trying to orient around it, and it's okay to do that, but ultimately it can't. So we're just trying to give it enough comprehension so that it can go, okay, I'm good with that. I can let that happen. I feel safe. Got it. Yes, yes.
Presumably, if you started to ask them, or say, now feel, become aware of your own awareness, or become aware of your being, experience that, that would probably be irrelevant to them at that point.
Exactly, especially for somebody who's new to this. Absolutely irrelevant. You might be aware that there's a deeper presence that has taken the foreground, that they're aware of it, to a certain extent, isn't really necessary. However, to have them describe their experience so that there's kind of an embodied sense of what's happening in the moment of presence, it's like a grounding in that experience. So that, for example, what do you call the trauma, TTP, trauma treatment protocol, thank you. In the trauma treatment protocol, they use the ground of being pretty early to, it's a resource, it's a profound resource, like the inner resource is a critical resource. In the TTP, the ground of being kind of lays the foundation for the work. So Whether they get it or not is absolutely inconsequential. But that they get that here in this place there's peace, ease, openness, relaxation, sense of safety. It's the describing qualities that they offer up in that ground of being or from that ground of being that become the resource. You know where they are. You know what's happening. They don't have an orientation for it yet. Quite likely. Have you found that? That they may not have an orientation. They don't know what the ground of being is. I mean, we might give it those words, but they don't know the largesse of what that is. Right. And that's that. Those are beautiful words, the part of you that never changes, the part of you that is, can you see that there has always been some level of peace and ease and quiet and spaciousness, always, as you look back through your life, it's always been here. Can you see that? Oh, right. At some point, they might open to what that really is. It might be a spontaneous opening and right there in front of you, full blown. We don't know. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really great question. And I think it's a really important question because it does come up. I'm looking for a pen because I want to write this down. It's a great question. Thank you. So you could, it would be a really nice, thank you, grounding to start every session with an inner resource. Because, you know, there may be some base fear. I think that's what you're implying, Marilyn, is it?
I don't know what the reason was.
Yeah.
It could be. And
yeah.
I do give people an inner resource.
Yeah.
But when you have somebody who doesn't even know what you're doing or why or what the heck you're talking about, well, I don't know, sort of response.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's great. So firstly, you're talking about a dyad session, right?
Dyad, yes.
Versus a group.
Yeah,
one person. And they have some framework for the work? They've been given some framework? Okay. So that would be an indication to me, number one, to give them more of a framework. And number two, to go right to basics. Can you feel your buttock on the couch?
Oh, okay.
What does that feel like? Can you feel your feet on the ground? What part of your back is resting against the chair? Can you feel the breath moving in your nostrils? And then take some of the describing words they use, like, well, my buttock feels heavy. Good. Is there any other part of your body that feels heavy right now? And what about light? Is there some part of your body that feels the opposite? And I honestly have had clients who have been so dissociated that we've had to do several sessions of just getting them in their bodies. Intense athletes even, you know, who you'd think would be incredibly embodied, but.
Yeah. Okay, that does answer.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Do you work with family members?
With my family members? Well, I have worked with my son. With my husband, I'm very discreet, and it's, you know, very not technique-y.
No agenda.
No agenda. Or I try. What's the point in your question?
Well,
Yeah.
And that, you know, depending on the relationship, there could be some resistances that come up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think with family, they're really, really making sure there's no agenda and keeping it really basic. Well, I think it's a good idea. It's like, you know, don't teach your spouse a sport or, yeah. 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 Yeah, it's true. And yet, you know, if your spouse says, yeah, I want to do it and things are cool, you know, take it through, as simply as possible, and maybe even keep it in the basic koshas at first, so it's really grounded. And depending on the results, keep going. Yeah. And it could be. Yeah, right. You may have taken it too far. But it does make me. It does make me think, though, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful meditation practice that would be as a dyad facilitator to just keep feeling attachment for results to fix, rise up, and just keep letting them go. It would be a beautiful practice because where most do they come? Oh boy.
And doing all sorts of different things. And it was really helpful. And it was about my brother coming to visit. So I just my comment is when you are doing things with people in the family, I think it's really important to stay neutral. And I think that's what you were talking about.
Stay neutral. Yeah, yeah. It might, you know, if while there might be some degree of safety staying within the family, be warned. All right. So, I want to give you just a little bit of delineation between the difference with a group and with individuals. When you're doing the IRS protocol with a group, honestly, I believe there's the same degree of artistic flair allowed, recommended, whether you just work on one kosha or you include all the koshas. I did one whole class on the inner resource. It was so great. There was all these questions that kept coming up, class after class after class, about the inner resource. I thought, okay, they really need a strong inner resource. So I'm going to take all of the koshas and build them into the inner resource. So there's lots of room here to play, as there is in the dyad. In the group work, we can solicit the group for, all right, give me some emotions you're working with and their opposites, give me some beliefs you're working with and their opposites, etc. But it's going to land differently for everybody, and you're not necessarily getting direct feedback. So you're following a course with a group. In the dyad, there could be a right-hand turn out of the blue. Ultimately, presence is called in both, always. And dare I say, in the dyad, your presence as the facilitator is more required. Why? Because there you're getting feedback whether it's the change in the skin color, something shifted in the eyes, the body's shifting, the breath is shifting, the verbal feedback that you're getting. You're going to be getting feedback from the unified field regardless of whether it's 1 or 100. You're in the unified field, so you're going to be getting information in the group of 10 also. But in the group of 2, you're really getting juicy feedback. And so this, it can be a little more challenging. It can be more fun. It requires a degree of flexibility. You know, you might come in prepared, or your client may have come and said, okay, I have this issue I want to work on. So before they come, you sit with it and you get some sense and you plan, because that's what the mind does. And then right off from the start, they say, oh no, I'm done with that. I want to work with this. And here you are, called to be in the moment again. That's the beauty of dyad work. Ultimately, the group work is really no different, because you're going to be receiving, hearing, sensing information as you atone with the group. But it's more obvious with the dyad, and it's a great learning process to being in the moment, responding to the moment, and trusting in the moment, because the moment spontaneously reveals with the right action. The right action can only be known in the moment. Yeah, and you're face to face. You're face to face. Yeah. So if in doubt, locate, feel, describe. If you feel like you've overdone that, then just go to feel. Feel that. What's that like? Good. Feel that. How is it to feel that? Good. Feel that. Really. Because there is, what you're doing is you're driving gently, inviting your client to be present to themselves, and they start to steep more and more fully in presence. And that takes care of it. There's nothing we have to do. You need to find your ground. You need to get in your body and let them have their space. And then as you do that, which maybe you did because you just said, okay. Maybe that's what you did in that moment where you just came back to yourself and went, okay. Then shaking is often a sign of release, trauma release. So good. So if it were my client, I would say to them, good, good, good. I would tell them that what's happening right now is good. Good. The shaking is good. Let it come. If you can, let it come. Go with it. Feel it. Good, good. I would just keep affirming to them that what's happening is totally fine, and I'm totally fine with it, and I'm going to hold this open space, and everything's good. Because if you're good with it, chances are really high that they're going to be good with it. Grounding them. Before you would ground one, I would say, how are you doing? And if everything they say indicates that they're good with what's happening, then that's an indication that you probably need the ground, not them. And if they say something that would indicate they're a little freaked out, then you could affirm something like, this is good, this can just be something releasing, the body's releasing, this is good, can you meet this? So we're checking in with them and letting them be the lead. We're not leading, they are. But what we're creating is the safe container. And if they give some indication that, well, I'm not sure, then all they may need is some more affirmation. This is good. Where do you feel it? And are you okay with that? And if they say yes, good. Then you just say, good, good. This is good. You're doing great. Well, if they said, I feel it in my gut, I would just say, great, feel that. Feel that. But if it's, you know, more like shaking, tremor, trauma, something big is releasing. Yeah. Like sometimes, you know, it can get like, you know, it can really, something larger than ourselves can take over, and we can't stop, we can't, it seems like we can't stop it. That's when we could come in and start to influence things, ask them to ground and so on. I personally wouldn't. I would just keep saying, this is good. This is just something releasing. And if they get a sense you're good with it, I haven't had a client that isn't good with it. Or I've had clients say, you know, this is enough for me for now. And they've just started to back it down on their own. And I just trust that, okay, I'm not going to force them to go the other way. I just go with, they're always the leader. Well, I think what Mira said was great. You know, can you feel your feet on the ground? Feel your body. Feel your body. But if they weren't saying, I want to leave, or this is scary, I would just say, feel this. And I might even say, if they have a framework for pure being, if we've worked with it previously, I would just say, just step back and let this happen. Just observe this, welcome this, let this happen. I might even use it as an opportunity and to say, put it out in front of you. Just watch it from a neutral place. I'm always careful in working with pure being, pure awareness, that they're not dissociating, and we're not teaching them to dissociate. So there needs to be the coming back in and feeling this, embodying it, not just staying back and looking at it, but coming into the foreground and feeling fully this in the foreground. And that's why our work is so important. Because as we enter into new territory, we'll do our work. The fear, we're less and less fearful. We can meet anything. Something comes up that's new and we go, cool, instead of, oh, shit. Or we go, oh, shit, cool. Or maybe a little back and forth there. All right, so before we move into our actual dyad experiences, any questions about the protocol, dyad protocol? Oh, I hear what you're saying. Okay. This has ruined small talk for you. Oh. Right, right. There's something there. There's something there. Like an expectation. Aha. Okay. Well, that's what I mean by expectation, because the desire, you're feeling that connection has to have a certain feel to it or a certain depth to it. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. So look at that. Inquire with that. Because the ground of being, there's no disconnection. There's no separation. There's no other. So what is it you're looking for? In the ground of being, there's everything you ever could want. So there's, right. So there's something. It's a catch. It's, you know, the mind has just caught on some story that it needs to be a certain way, certain depth, certain quality of connection. Inquire with it, play with it. It's a good inquiry that is pointing right back to source. But really, the conflict may be in the judgment. Because in the moment of wanting it to be another way, you're separating out from the moment. So even that, let that be a pointer, that little taste of dissatisfaction. Let that just point, it's one of the kanchukas, just let it point you back. It's just a movement that is showing where, you know, at where do the kanchukas, it's like 26 on the cosmological map. So it's showing that, you know, you're at that spot in separation, which is actually not that far from oneness. It's actually not that far. So if you just catch that whiff, you're back in presence again. Isn't it beautiful, beautiful work? Isn't this, I was so struck by the profundity of this protocol and what it offers us. Even the daily challenges we have like this, when we look at them and inquire with them, they'll point us back home. So it's important to have these kind of conversations, to have a community within which we can say, casual conversation is ruined. Was that what you said? I can't remember. Yeah. Something like that. You know, it's not everywhere you could say that and be understood, but to have a sangha where you can say that and have dialogue with it and come back home as a result of speaking it is profound, priceless. Yeah. It is actually, but it's just in your own schedule, in your own timing, in your own way, in the absolute perfect, using the absolute perfect tools that you need right now. At some point, it'll shift, but you're doing exactly what you need to be doing to come home. It's bringing you home.
Is it possible it's bringing you home, but you're just not aware of it?
But
I'm not there.
But that's the Mara of Mara. Yeah. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, yeah. Curiosity is, I think, one of the essential flavors that we bring as the facilitator. You know, that a childlike curiosity, an innocent curiosity, not I know everything and I'm watching for signs, although there may be a certain flavor of that in your maturity and skill. But more this innocent, childlike openness. The curiosity can also be a way for the mind to stay engaged and in charge. So there's curiosity that is a characteristic of, an expression of pure being. And there's curiosity that is the mind working. And how do you discern between the two? I don't know.
You know, there's a sort of a sense of analysis involved. Versus just and what's going to be, and what's next? No, it's more of an attitude. Because I found myself certainly sometimes going into more of an analytical mode. Something there. You know, I think it's more of a contraction.
Yeah.
As opposed to a bodily openness. I wonder what that is, or what know what I mean? It's a
yeah, I think that's that's a good answer. Which is and it's challenging when you're trying to learn the protocol to let the mind let go. So it's a real dance in the early stages, which is why I really encourage you to keep practicing, keep playing, so that more and more the mind can let go and you can feel that sense of ease as you move into it, so that it's not that mental curiosity and intellectual curiosity, but an openness. Great question.
Big difference in, I think, in the physical feeling of surrendering to curiosity as opposed to grabbing onto it. Like even in yourself, you might watch at different times if you're leaning forward into your curiosity or if you're relaxing into your curiosity or if you're, you know, the different ways that your own body has of registering that different feeling.
But if I may hear what you say reminds me of something, Mara, is, and that is, as a facilitator, curiosity is happening. Let's say you're facilitating, and you're unsure whether this curiosity is going to take the client out of their experience or not, and that's your question. Is what I'm about to say going to take them deeper into what's present, what's already present, or is it going to take them somewhere else? Really, the general understanding here is that what's present in the client is perfect. There's nothing we need to do to change that. There's an organic process that's unfolding, and we don't know what it is. And so, but what we do know is that it's an organic process for the client. It's not ours. And so, if something arises, ask yourself, will this take my client deeper into what's present, this process that's happening, or will it shift it into something else? And see what sense comes to you with an answer. Well, or keep them present. Maybe that's another way of saying it. Good discernment. Thank you. Is this going to keep them present? Help them to stay present? Allow them? Thank you. That's very good languaging. Yeah. I really encourage you to do that today. Gently, kindly, saying, yeah, that really worked. Oh, that really, and say it right in the moment. When you can feel that that really worked, just say, oh, yeah, that really worked, or whatever. Or if something feels like it's taking you away, you could say, you know, I feel like that's taking me away from what's present. And know that we're here in a setting of learning and growing among friends who we care for. Give them permission to give feedback. Yes, yes, yes. Often I will. Yeah, yeah. I'll often say to a client, as we go in the kind of centering as we're starting, I'll say something to the effect of, as we're in the process together, if I ask you a question and it takes you somewhere different where you don't want to go, or you even if you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer. Stay where you are. Don't answer. I'll trust that that's where you need to be. If you need something different, ask for it.